Well, it's a topic that has consumed our thoughts over the past few days, to be honest. And if you're a lover of Test cricket and you live anywhere near Auckland, it really should concern you as well, and it does need a solution. They must have Test cricket played in our greatest city, surely, to service the country's largest population base, if nothing else. But where should it be? We've heard plenty of suggestions already, ranging from Western Springs to Albany to the Domain, but each of them have had their flaws, apparently. Now, Peter McGlashan is a deep thinker on many matters. He, of course, is a former black cap, had a long and distinguished career behind the stumps, entrenched in the community as well as Peter with local politics background in Auckland. So he's got, I would imagine, a vested interest and some interesting thoughts on this matter. Morning, Peter, and thanks for your time.
No worries, Smithy.
Now, obviously, you're a lover of Test cricket. You would love to see it back in Auckland, I would imagine. Question is, Peter, where and when?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because with the rearrangement of, or the realignment of the cricket block at Eden Park, I guess you leave behind a lot of history and the, you know, the memories that you would have had there, Smithy, playing Test cricket, and it kind of feels a bit sanitised now for Test cricket. So other than the day-night tests, which are a bit of a spectacle every now and again, it just doesn't have that same appeal that we get in other parts of the country.
It certainly doesn't have the appeal, and according to New Zealand cricket, quite clearly it doesn't, because they're taking the games more and more away from the base of where our greater population is. So from a cricketing spectator's point of view, Pete, I mean, surely it needs to be given some serious thought to perhaps going back there in another venue.
Yeah, I think, you know, the grounds like Bay Oval and Hagley Oval look excellent when they're full for a test match. Grassy banks and sunny afternoons. And I think, you know, the concrete jungle that is, you know, New Zealand's national stadium, it will never fill up for a test match. So it's always going to look empty, and that always looked underwhelming on television, not a great experience to go to. So I think some of the proposals that have been put forward are interesting. I guess it's just the romanticism of a brand new, shiny, spectacular solution versus the pragmatism of, you know, what we can afford in the current economic climate.
The things that we're looking at here, one, capacity, practicality, just how practical is the whole deal. Accessibility is a big thing people are talking about, Pete, as you well know, with traffic issues around Auckland, and user-friendly facilities as such. Accessibility is, let's start at the top of the alphabet. Where do you put it in terms of people being able to get there and it not being a hassle? Because if it's a hassle, people these days watch it on telly.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I think the challenge is for people to imagine what Auckland's going to be like in a couple of years' time once the Central Rail Loop is finished, because, you know, currently Auckland is gridlock in almost every direction. But the CRL being completed in the next 2 or 3 years, which is probably how long it would take to, you know, prepare all the paperwork to get a new test venue ready anyway, is going to totally change the way that Aucklanders move around the city. You know, it should be competitive with some of the bigger cities around the world. So you can look to venues like Colin Maiden, which are on the Eastern Rail Line, only a few hundred metres from the train line. And yeah, that might be difficult to get to now, but in 2 or 3 years' time, by the time all the resource consenting and paperwork and designs are done, it actually, you know, will be 3 or 4 minutes from the city centre, and you could get on a train in Henderson and get off in Glen Innes without having to change trains. So I think it's difficult sometimes for them just to imagine what could be when they walk out their front door and they're faced with all the challenges the city is currently facing.
Why don't Aucklanders south of the bridge want to travel to North Harbour?
Because of the bridge. Again, you know, until we have another harbour crossing, it's just difficult to get in and out of Albany. Anyone who sort of heads north for the holidays or works on the North Shore and tries to get into the city for work knows how gridlocked the Harbour Bridge can be. It's a real pinch point. So I think you're right, Albany Stadium has the space, but until there is more capacity to get across the harbour, it's really difficult to justify that being the location while such a large proportion of the city is south of the bridge. It's not to say that that couldn't be something in the future, and I think the challenge for Auckland is, you know, Auckland Council is having to sell off most of the silverware to try and pay for the current state of affairs, and, you know, my understanding is Albany Stadium and a few other in patches like that, you know, potentially could be sold to help ease the economic situation. So there aren't actually that many green patches around the city which you could, over time, develop in the same way that Hagley or Bay Oval has, where they haven't got to the solution they've got now straight away. It's taken two or three stages of development to build it up over time.
The basin works well, Pete, as you well know. You've played there often enough, because for fans, I mean, it's walking distance to a restaurant, a bar, to talk about the game afterwards. It's, you know, there's public transport going past there every 5 minutes in terms of buses, etc. Is there a possibility, Victoria Park, is there a possibility the Domain? I mean, these are established grounds. They have club cricket on them, both of them. They have other sports on them as well. But do they fit the criteria? I mean, the Domain, is there too much heritage, too much history to all of a sudden turn that into a Test cricket ground?
Well, I think that's the tension, isn't it? You know, cricket's or Test cricket's the traditional version, so you would think some of those heritage elements would fit really well. You know, that's why the Basin Reserve, upgraded the museum stand and tries to hold on to some of that heritage. I think Victoria Park romantically would be the best, but I think Simon Wilson did quite a good article a couple of weeks back that it's slightly small. If you were going to have a proper international-sized boundary by the time you include grass banks, etc. But it was the perfect location, you know, the right next to the hospitality, as you mentioned. Who knows what might happen as far as Waterfront Stadium for other sports further down the line. So Victoria Park, the Domain, are probably the two inner-city options, although they've got lots of fish hooks with historical use, access to the community, expectations from non-cricketing people to be able to use those spaces. Yeah. Colin Maiden Park in Glen Innes or in St. John's is probably the blankest slate. It has had a history of cricket played on it, but there's lots of space around it to build up those things over time. It's got other sports there with the FIFA Oceania Stadium, Auckland Netball are based there, so it is a real sports hub. But as you said, it's a little bit further away from the hospitality element. How much is Test cricket and hospitality tied together? Probably less than the other forms of entertaining cricket, but that's not to say you don't want to, you know, be able to have a nice meal at the end of the day's play. So these are all difficult decisions for people to make, but all need to be factored in. It's going to take a brave politician to run on Test cricket as a vote winner.
Yes, it would, actually. If we'd have beaten Australia, it might have been different. Pete, one of the great things about the Basin Reserve, of course, is when it's not a Test ground, there's access. I mean, the public still have the ability just to stroll through it. They open up the gates, and it's a link between Newtown and the city, etc., and when you're walking home. And I kind of think that's why Wellingtonians continue to buy into it, is because unless it's a sports day, it's still theirs and the purpose that it probably would have been anyway. That's why when you look at something like an enclosed stadium close to the city, that's, I think, where you're going to get more of your objections, because it's going to make people change their ways as opposed to making it easier for them or keep it the same.
Yeah, I totally agree. It would need to be a really innovative solution to be used at the Domain or Victoria Park, where it would need public access. That makes total sense, because if Auckland hasn't had a test in a decade or whatever, it's not going to be hosting four or five tests a summer. So it would still need to be available for club cricket, for concerts, for other things, for other, you know, festivals and things that are happening in the inner city. So you would need to be realistic about the size of the stands, the ability to open it up as and when required on weekdays when it's not being used for tests. If we can get our head around that and be a little bit creative and innovative, you absolutely could use some of those spaces. I think the challenge is often, sometimes as soon as you get creative and innovative, the price tag tends to go up because you're not buying something off the shelf. So it would need to be done in a way which could be staged over time. And there's no reason why you couldn't, as has been done in some of those designs, put a stand up against the overpass of Victoria Park and kind of obscure the motorway. That would be a wonderful win. But again, if that's going to be where your Waitemata tunnel is going to start going under the harbour when the Waitemata connection is made, you're not going to want stadium foundations being built pretty much exactly where you'd be building the tunnel to go under the harbour. So it's like all of these things, you've got to make a first move, and it's got to be a bold one, and then all of the other things kind of cascade off that. And I don't think anyone is willing to be brave enough to put Test cricket up the top of the election issues, you know, next year when the local body elections roll around again. Who knows, maybe Wayne Brown will run again. And I'm not sure whether Wayne's a cricket fan or not, but he definitely seemed like someone who wants to get stuff done. So who knows?
And the interesting thing is when people start talking about building new things, the big question is, how are we going to get value for money? I mean, in all honesty, once the novelty wears off of this brand new facility and people say, yeah, I've been there, it was cool, I'll go again at some point, I guess. You've got to think, well, how often is our money going to be used in terms of use of the stadium? Now, we're talking about it now in terms of a test ground because that's what we feel Auckland particularly need. But then again, you've got a purpose-built ground like a Hagley, for instance, like a Bay Oval, which doesn't require massive crowds to create the ambience that you want, then you've got Auckland cricket being based there. Then you've got a lot of women's cricket being placed there. New Zealand cricket looking at all sorts of purposes for this ground, as they do for Hagley, as they do with Lincoln down in Christchurch. I mean, we're only looking at it at its highest user time, and that's the test match. Yeah.
And I think that's when the argument for the Domain and Victoria Park starts to fall over, because it needs to be the home of Auckland cricket the rest of the time, and that can't really happen down in the CBD where you need space for training nets and players need to be able to get in and out from, you know, indoor cricket facilities in the evenings. So Colin Maiden does give you that blank canvas and that ability to put all of your eggs in one basket and not compromise. You know, I think everyone would probably agree that, you know, the balance between the Basin Reserve and Sky Stadium and Wellington Stadium, the Basin is awesome because it is just the Basin and it doesn't try to be anything else. But Wellington Stadium has always been a bit of a mixed bag for cricketers and for footballers and for rugby players because it is that compromise of a multi-purpose stadium. And so you would end up in a similar situation with Test cricket in Auckland where it would only ever be used for tests and 90% of the time it would be used for other things. So could you justify the investment if it's just going to be used as a common park for the public when actually you still need to find a home for Auckland cricket's high performance program, which would normally be bundled up with wherever the test venue is. So a little bit like Bay Oval. Bay Oval has become the hub of, you know, all cricket that happens in Tauranga. Wherever the test venue goes in Auckland is likely going to need to be much more than just a convenient location close to hospitality for the one or two tests a year that we host here in Auckland.
Could we go like Melbourne, Pete? Could Auckland be like Melbourne? You know, basically the MCG was there first, and all of a sudden they thought, right, we're not going to move the MCG. That is just a bridge too far. So we'll bring other sport to it. In other words, the Rod Laver Tennis Centre, Amy Stadium. All, is Auckland a possibility for that, or are we clutching at too big a straw here?
I mean, it's the thing to aim for, isn't it? Because it's just remarkable the fact that all that stuff happens in close proximity. It's got public transport in and out. It's got, you know, the promenade walk along the river and that. And it all works really, really well. And again, where in Auckland could you do all of those things if you had a 20-year plan or a 30-year plan? And again, the only place that you probably could put all the sports and build them up over time is at Colin Maiden, because it's right next to the train line. You could shift Auckland's home of tennis and build a tennis stadium out here because Stanley Street's getting, you know, too hard to maintain. You could shift your netball stadium. I mean, you'd always play your big stuff at Spark Arena down the waterfront, but if you wanted to have another complex which could pick up large tournaments, you could do it out here. There's never really going to be enough space down in that waterfront area to have either a waterfront stadium for rectangular fields and sports like football and rugby, etc., as well as, you know, you've got your footprint for Spark Arena. Could you squeeze a cricket ground in there? Cricket just uses so much land, you know, for the number of people that play on the field. It's always going to be a poor cousin when land is so expensive down in your CBD. So Melbourne is lucky that it did a long time ago and now it reaps the rewards. Auckland would probably need to be a little bit more long-term focused and recognise that the win might not come in the next 10 years, but over time, you know, you could build something up over 20, 30 years, which would work And that's a challenge for politicians at the moment, as everyone's working on a 2 or 3 year cycle to get re-elected. And as we saw with the last Labor government, when they started to look a bit further afield, be it in health or transport or any other areas of government, when they tried to look at those intergenerational projects, it became really difficult for people to re-elect them because there were so many needs right here, right now, which people felt were more critical. So it's a fine balance as a politician to work out how do you get picked long enough to do the thing that you said that you would do versus do something which might cost you your job in the short term, but actually is what people in 20, 30, 40, 50 years' time will thank you for.
Okay, you're much more over the transport system or the burgeoning transport system, which is about to happen in Auckland, and thank goodness for that. We get quite a few texts in saying, Smithy, what about South Auckland? I mean, it's a growing area. It's getting closer and closer to Hamilton. I mean, the access between the cities is better in terms of commuting for things like sport. What about South Auckland? Has anyone ever looked seriously at something down there?
I think the challenge out there is it's really expensive to build the infrastructure to get it to happen. So again, if you had someone who could be thinking kind of right in 20, 30 years' time, the city will look like this, and therefore that this thing that we're building now or planning for now will come to life, then that would work. This Karaka Club have sort of set up a multi-sport, but that's at a club level. There's plenty of land out there, but at the moment, any time you spread south, it costs you more and more money to get rail and public transport and water and electricity and that away from the inner city. So, again, it would be a long-term solution. Or you would need very deep pockets. We'd probably need, you know, the Graham Harts of the world coming in and sort of saying, hey, look, this is a legacy I want to leave in Auckland. I've lived here all my life. I've done really well in New Zealand, and I'm willing to, you know, bankroll something which the public purse could never pick up.
Right. Okay, Pete, thanks for those thoughts. Yeah, I just need to talk to you too, because you've always had a pretty solid interest with Sarah, et cetera, in women's cricket. A big series going on at the moment between New Zealand and England. We won the last one. Now England's appear they will be a lot stronger with their reinforcements arriving from the Women's League. How are you viewing the White Ferns at the moment, the development? Say the team going forward in 2 to 3 years when we might not have Devine, we might not have Bates?
Yeah, well, I think what's really interesting about this current series is that the New Zealand A women are playing England A women at the same time as the top teams are playing. So you've actually got both countries' top two teams playing at the same time in the same country. And that hasn't happened before. And obviously that's a great opportunity to really see where that next generation of player is coming from and as they're progressing. And the New Zealand A women's team have actually been doing pretty well against England A. So there are signs that in that next layer below, there are some players that will be able to step up. I think, you know, the Susies and the Sophies of the world will naturally come to an end. And then the question does become, as you said, you know, who's going to fill that gap? You can only get that experience by playing the games. But I think this is a really interesting kind of, I know we're right late in the summer, but actually the fact that the top two teams from both countries in the women's game are playing each other means unusually you get a chance to see what that next tier would look like. And they've been recently competitive with some exciting performances from youngsters. So it's promising, but until you do get a chance in the top team, you never really know.
Pete McGlashan, great catching up. It's been a while, and thanks so much for your considered thoughts over the prospect of that test stadium. All the best. Thanks for your time. Really do appreciate it, Peter.
Cheers, Smithy. Anytime.